From the Mirror of Zen by Korean Zen Master Sosan. Number 73. In the hour of your death, simply perceive. The five skandhas are intrinsically empty. The four elements composing this body have no I. Our true nature has no mark, no shape or form, and does not come or go, appear or disappear. When your body was born, true nature is not born, and when you die, true nature does not die. Perfectly quiescent and still, mind and objects are not two things. Attaining no mind, you and the whole universe are never separate. This is a very important thing to realize. Attaining no mind, you and the universe are not separate. I've been in communication with some friends today, and hearing their stories. And I won't say names or break confidence in any way, but these are people who have great energy for life and who I admire very deeply and respect with every bit of myself. And they told me, both of them shared with me today, that they are struggling. They're low, as they put it, feeling low. And I was moved by this because one in particular is just ever so positive. I don't think I've really ever heard him even say this. So infrequent does he feel down. But he runs a company and he had to let go his employees and is only able to compensate them a little bit. And of course, he's someone who really, really cares about people. So he's just heartbroken about that. His business is just sinking. So he's also he has a young child, and he is having to give up the place that he and his wife rent and move back home with his parents. And of course, this is not the direction he imagined his life going. And there's more I could say about his story. My other friend, also someone who gives his all to life and to being a good person, but is struggling these days as well, drinking more than he usually does. Part of it is the loss of connection, of course, with people who support and sustain him. He normally attends a weekly church service, for example, and sings in a choir, and has been unable to do this. And that's just one of the things, of course, that sustain him in his weeks that has been cut off. He's falling behind in work, having trouble keeping up in the virtual work world. I think that probably many people are struggling now, feeling like life is hard. It's hard to feel the same sense of fulfillment when we are often so disconnected from the people who we love and care about. And I do really appreciate Zoom for helping us stay connected. I mean, here we are in our virtual Zendo, connected with each other, which is really magical and wonderful. And it's not the same. It's not the same as sitting in the same room and hearing one another's breaths and footsteps. And we know that. So I guess I'm trying to say that I understand how people could be feeling down now and could be feeling stressed, fighting for employment, fighting for situations that are ever changing, and changing in ways that are really quite out of our control. And I think that's one of the hardest parts about this. We see many people wanting to kind of seize control again, going into a place maybe of denial. Oh, to hell with this pandemic, I'm just going to go out to work and do what I want. I understand the motive there. And I understand the balancing of considerations involved, and not to get take too hard of a side here. Politically, I mean, people are they want to work. I understand. I really do. And there will be costs if that decision is made. To realize that if that either direction we go, there will be costs. If we don't work, there will be increase in unemployment, and this is real. This means people losing homes and perhaps going hungry. And if people go back to work, this means that many people will die. And so this is obviously a choiceless choice, a situation where there is no good option, and people feel out of control. And even within circumstances where we're able to keep perhaps our jobs if we haven't lost them, even in situations where people are able to keep their work, so much of a loss of control there too. Businesses changing their shapes and employees having to undergo changes and stresses that are very much out of their control, having to work in ways they've never worked before, take roles they've never taken before. All of this is extraordinarily stressful. So it makes sense that many people now are suffering and struggling. And one of the hardest things is that there is no clear end in sight. We don't know how long it will take for any sort of vaccination program to be able to begin. We do have a sense that. That this very dangerous virus is probably going to be with us for a long time. So this is a feeling of a loss of control, a feeling of vulnerability, and it can make us feel angry or stressed or sad. So I brought forth some high dharma here in sharing the reading that I did in the face of this great societal challenge. And the reading, to return to it, at the hour, in the hour of your death, simply perceive the five skandhas are intrinsically empty. There is no fixed essence in the self. The four elements composing this body have no I. Our true nature has no mark, no shape or form, and does not come or go, appear or disappear. When your body was born, true nature is not born. And when you die, true nature does not die. Attaining no mind, you and the whole universe are never separate. I too find that from time to time there are narratives that sweep into my mind with great power, and I believe them. I have a sense that things are one way or another, either things about my life or about myself or about the world. I have a sense that things should be one way or another. Often the way that they should be is not the way that they are. And this contradiction is often where our struggle comes in. And we want to be careful here not to dismiss our assessment of things and to dismiss the way things appear to us and argue that they are false. That is not the Dharma. We're not trying to oppress our observations or the way reality appears to us. But we are acknowledging that it is just the way reality appears to us. That our conceptual maps are limited. That the way that we think about things is just the way that we think about things. That there is, that statement, by the way, it's quite revolutionary. And yet, you know, we may find pride come in. Hey, but the way I think about things is true. Yeah, well, that's another way that we're thinking about something. These are thoughts that enter into the mind, and they enter with such force that it's hard to acknowledge that they are actually just thoughts. Their correspondence to reality, in my case, is usually actually fairly limited. I think I have the whole picture, but I really don't. Thoughts are a little bit like Zoom. Kind of two-dimensional, a little bit flat. So rather than argue with them, the Dharma encourages us simply to open beyond them, to open beyond our conceptual maps, to an aliveness that is unfolding. And this aliveness does not have boundaries in the same way that thoughts suggest. This aliveness is one mysterious unfolding whole. And at every single moment, we are that unfolding whole. We have access to it, if you will. It is our life. And the way that we make our way home again is to realize where we already are. The mind is always carrying us somewhere else, imagining futures and pasts, imagining other people, imagining situations, telling us about them. But right here, right now, we are already home. And the vast universe makes itself available to us. We call, it responds every time, always. Utterly reliable. The sensation of our bottom on the chair or the cushion. Just this breath that has no inside or outside, is just breath. No separateness between ourselves and our breathing and the air. All one. Every moment, our true nature is available, waiting for us to notice. Of course, we get swept up in our concerns. And given the situation that is just so understandable, and given our many unique challenges that's so understandable. And that's why it is so utterly important for us in these difficult times to practice. We simply cannot be of benefit to others if we are lost in our dark paths of ignorance and delusion, if we're lost in division, combative separateness. How can we help make the world whole again? To heal, the root of the word. To make whole. In order to offer that healing touch, that healing presence in this world, we need to be awake to the wholeness ourselves. To really be of benefit. We need to take care of ourselves too, not just others. To be willing to pause when we know that the swirl, the madness of it all is getting control. Are the next 20 seconds really going to make or break the matter? Most of the time, that is not the case. We could, in fact, take 5 deep breaths and return home. And then re-engage, refreshed. These are skillful means that are offered to us in the Dharma. These practices that we do together, this practice of sitting still. This practice of attending the breath, of being embodied, of allowing the sounds of the world to be present, turning toward things just as they are. These beautiful forms that we practice together, We can offer the support through these Zoom meetings to remind each other of these forms. And then we can practice them ourselves with our little boost, our little weekly boost. We gain strength that helps carry us throughout the week as we practice. So some encouragement here to allow yourself in the midst to acknowledge the challenge that we are all here facing, the strain that we feel, we can't help but feel in the present circumstances. This is not about denial. This is a terrible thing. All of this sickness and death, and our hope to prevent it, and the impossibility of that. That's sad. And it's okay to let that touch our hearts and to realize the strain of it. And to meet that with our practice. With our practice, which offers us an infinite container to hold these concerns. And the infinite container is yourself, which is nothing other than the universe. This is our boundless nature, and our practice helps us see this again and again, building our resilience and our faith. Thank you.